we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm here with one of the business owners I've come to know the best, both in the Facebook group and in real life, Tim Rossinelli, owner of Maximum Impact Karate in Dublin. Thanks for joining me, Tim.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I want to start off by saying, maybe giving a little bit of kudos to you. We had our daughter spend about, I think it was like 6 or 7 months or so in the Little Ninjas program mm-hmm. at your dojo prior to her starting kindergarten. And this was at a time when it was still really hard to find, you know, normal, healthy activities, things like karate and sports for kids, just because of where the world was at. And it made a huge difference in our life, getting our oldest ready for kindergarten and adding that structure and everything. I felt like you and Justin did great. But wanted to give a huge shout out. What you've done with Maximum Impact, I think from the start, has really been amazing. So it's much appreciated.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it too. You know, it's kind of interesting because a lot of that time, you know, that you were there, you know, that was like January 2021 mm-hmm. when things were really bad and, or, you know, they were saying everything was bad. And it was kind of interesting. You could come almost into our dojo and see what normal life was kind of yeah. like at that point. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. And like you said, at the height of that first winter wave, it was just hard to find anything. So how did you get to the point where you decided, okay, you know, I'm going to run my dojo with personal freedom and allow my students and their families to choose what they want to do when it comes to masks and mm-hmm. quarantines and all of these different types of things that were going on?
Yeah, I think my opinion in my business is I kind of just set up the system and kind of just let the system answer the questions for me. So when it came to the beginning of the pandemic and reopening, I decided to let masks be optional. There were some people, it seemed like that was the type of people that were going to come in at that point in time. And I just felt that it took me out of the equation on the decision because I knew different people were going to come out of, you know, wearing masks at different times. And if I said you had to wear a mask, I had to make that decision. And I didn't want to make that decision. I just wanted to let people kind of come out of, you know, the pandemic when they felt it was time. Yeah. And that was kind of my driving philosophy of that decision.
And that was an observation while we were bringing our daughter was there were several students who wore their masks. At the time that I came,
yeah.
you know, it was probably less. They were the minority. But you did have a good number of students and their families who were more comfortable doing that. And that was okay. They yeah. did that. And like you said, you would kind of observe from that winter of 2021 to like when it was spring and summer and warm out, how that changed for people. And like you said, they kind of came to it in their own time rather than being forced to it.
Yeah, you would see people, you know, some people I was seeing masks the whole time, and it was kind of amazing when you finally see the person stop wearing a mask and just start coming to class like normal, and you knew, oh, okay, this is a person that just finally decided it was time. And like I said, again, it didn't give me that hard decision of figuring out when it was time for, you know, somebody to just take off the mask and go back to normal.
Yeah.
So we had students that were, you know, mainly it was the parents actually that masked more. Most of the kids that were in class, I mean, the majority of the kids throughout the whole pandemic, the parents felt comfortable having them unmasked in our dojo.
Would that be your experience as an owner of a karate dojo? You'd say most parents want their kids to have access to unmasked activities.
Yeah, I think so. It could be two things. It could be that just the type of people that I attracted because of my policies attracted that type of person or it was the majority. But in my opinion, it looked like it was the majority opinion was that most people, I think, kind of in the back of their mind knew that the kids weren't really that much in danger of this.
Right.
I mean, if we look at the numbers, it was super low. And a lot of the parents knew that they might possibly be, you know, susceptible to, you know, getting sick from it or whatever. And they were wearing, like, a lot of the parents were wearing masks in the in the waiting area while their kids were unmasked in the dojo.
Yeah, it's like you set yourself up for a good transition as everything just slowly over 2 years got back to normal because of how you set it up at the beginning.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting because at the beginning, when we went back, you know, to live classes, we were doing hybrid the whole time for almost a year after that, too. So we had some kids that weren't comfortable even coming into class online almost for a whole year. I mean, it was June 2021 when we actually stopped doing the Zoom classes, too. And then you had a big group of people that came in. Now, the people that came in at first, you know, basically kind of drove my opinions at first because I had to go with who were the type that would come out. And they were the type that didn't want their kids masked. But it was really interesting how we kind of baby stepped our way into things, you know, because at the beginning you're really paranoid, you know, you're a little paranoid. I mean, even as myself, I didn't think things would go bad, but you didn't know, you know, and you're a little paranoid. And then, you know, as the summer went on, we kind of loosened up the initial things that we were doing. And it was kind of interesting because once we got into the fall, we had a lot of people that started coming back. And they didn't kind of baby step their way into this stuff. Yeah. And so we had some difficulties at that point in time. Like I even told you about how I had a total meltdown from a parent when they came in. And he wasn't even upset of people being unmasked. He was actually upset because people didn't have their mask. Everybody in the office area was masked. They just didn't have their masks on right. And, you know, and I guess it just shows the severity of, you know, the psyche of how this, the place that it kind of drove people to is kind of interesting too.
Coming in there and shouting about the way you do business. I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But I, you know, as normal, I try to just listen and be compassionate and just kind of listen to people and give them some empathy. And believe it or not, that parent's kid is still in our program. Hmm. So I mean,
I was going to say earlier when I mentioned, you know, our daughter and our experience going at a time when there were still people wearing masks, including kids who went into the dojo wearing their masks. I mean, it felt good because everybody kind of respected each other. And so even though, like, I'm the type of person who I don't like to see masks, I would rather like my kids be around no masks at all whatsoever. But in an environment where, you know, there's mutual respect and we're all just like, okay, we're going to make our choices and that's going to be it. It feels comfortable and it feels good. I never saw anything along the lines of like people judging each other or anything like that.
Yeah. I think everybody felt like, oh, well, this is where this person's at. I also had this philosophy too at the beginning where it was like, I didn't know what people's private situation was. So I don't want to make those decisions about you. You know, if you have an elderly person and, you know, we can argue whether masks work or not work, you know, till the cows come home. But if you have an elderly person that might be at high risk, you might want to wear a mask just for that person. And I wasn't going to be the one that said, okay, you know, right. I kind of don't want to judge people's personal situations too. For me, I you know, masks kind of like they do, like, I kind of find them a little freaky, I guess you could say.
It's been weird.
Yeah. It's a little weird. I just remember I had an experience where I took my wife down to the University of Penn Hospital for something. And so two people, and this was in 2019, and two people got in the elevator with us and they were wearing masks. And you're kind of like thinking to yourself, like, what's wrong with these? You know, what do these people have that they have to wear a mask? And I'm in an elevator with them, you know? And I think I still kind of get that, you know,
it's a little bit of like feeling. Anxiety.
Yeah, it's a little anxiety.
And it makes me wonder about these people who, like, you know, the opposite of what we're describing in your dojo where people just kind of respect each other. You have a lot of people on the other side who, like, they will only feel comfortable if they're in a room or a big place with everybody wearing masks. And to me, that's so bizarre and hard to relate to how you could be okay with that. It's just made this whole experience very strange.
I think you can say that, you know, you're talking about the very extreme fringe, you know, and the problem with us being forced to wear masks, you know, in stores and everything, and most people complying with it, is that you walk into a store or another business and everybody's wearing a mask. So you assume in your mind that everybody has the same opinion, right?
Right.
That all these people believe in this. But if you actually talk to people, a lot of people are just wearing it just because they don't want to be bothered by other people. They're afraid people are going to yell at them and they're not really into it as much as you would think. And I think when we, you know, when we start going into stores without a mask on, you kind of discovered that, you know, there was a fringe group that would get really upset and most other people just wouldn't say anything. Care, yeah, they didn't really care very much. So when you got into my business, you know, I guess that fringe group would never join my karate school. I have an interesting thing where I actually had a lady who came in with a trial, and I've actually convinced people not to do karate. You know, she like her kid had diabetes and she wanted to start karate. And, you know, she's like, nobody's masked. And I said, quite frankly, I don't think I would take the chance with anything with your kid right now, you know. And this was November of 2020. And I said, I mean, just being a practical parent, I might not risk anything with my kid if he had, you know, diabetes and this possibly could do something to people with diabetes. I might not do anything. But for the most part, everybody, you know, is kind of, you know, in the average, not on the fringe there.
It's like a bell curve for sure.
And I'm sure there's a fringe that doesn't want to see anybody in masks, you know.
That's a reopen box.
But you realize that that's kind of, you know, in the end you find that it's kind of unpractical and you can't really force people not to wear masks. Like,
and I feel like now where there's no mandates and people can make their own decisions, now out in society, you see what it is. So especially like you're here in Dublin, you know, most Upper Bucks and Central Bucks, if you go to a store, you're going to see very few masks. Mm-hmm. I think that reflects like where people are with it.
Yeah.
When there's no mandate and orders and all of this stuff kind of forcing people into it.
Yeah. And, you know, I felt at the beginning, you know, when they made us close the business, you know, businesses in Bucks County, I kind of came to the decision, and that's the reason why when the lockdown happened, I stayed the first week they suggested it. I kind of stayed open. And then when they kind of forced us, I decided to close. And I kind of went, I'm kind of stubborn and I just didn't see myself not working for 2 weeks. So I went right to virtual from there. Hmm. But in retrospect, I mean, I had 4 people show up for that last week. So I was going virtual anyway for a while.
Did you guys have, now this is good because I want to get into, you know, what that first part was like, because also something we need to talk about, you were really heavily involved in kind of like, you know, recruiting and talking to other business owners and the whole process of like how Bucks County came to reopen.
Yeah.
And so in that, you know, very first time right there when you decide to go virtual, did you already have infrastructure for that? Like the equipment and the stuff? How did you pull that off?
You know, what's funny is I had a laptop and I did have some people in the martial arts industry and in some of the community groups I'm in. They were in areas that had already went and they said, hey, you got to go to, you know, virtual. And I tried the first class. I tried to through Google. I think it's called, what is it, Google Classrooms or something. Oh, yep. And I didn't like it, so I ended up in Zoom, and we did Zoom. I didn't even do the paid version, and then I found out, you know, like, we'd be in a class, and if you went a little bit over because you only had, like, 45 minutes, you know, just displayer. Yeah. So I just went and paid for that. Our first week was basically, like, I was my son-in-law, Sensei Justin, he's my instructor, too. I said, hey, we got to scour through all our stuff and see what we can do virtual, you know?
Right. And because there's a lot that, I mean, we're talking about karate. You have to be like up on a kid and teach them the move. And
yeah.
A lot of it is like an in-person type of thing.
Yeah. So. I actually found doing virtual, it was kind of unique at the beginning. So it's kind of, in a way, it was kind of fun because it was, you know, whenever you're trying to do something new that you never did before, I could have looked at it as like, oh, this is terrible. But I kind of looked at it as like, hey, I've never done this before. It's interesting. I always had the dream of, you know, doing an online business maybe, you know, someday. And after you do Zoom enough, you kind of realize like, I don't think I want to be on the online, you know, martial arts business. I like it live a lot better. But we didn't have, you know, I had to buy like a headset and I had to buy a camera for the computer to get better, you know, footage. So we didn't have anything in place. And it's kind of interesting because most of the other karate schools, I went right from Thursday, I think it was a Thursday night closing the school, and then going Saturday morning classes, full schedule, you know, for all my classes, and went like that until June 1st when we opened live. And we learned so much so quick in those first 2 weeks. And a lot of Christ schools, they just closed those first 2 weeks. And then by the time they figured it out, some of the guys were already a month in before they even started doing the virtual classes. So I was kind of glad that I had this attitude at the beginning. Like I told my wife when they were saying, you know, oh, this is going to kill your grandmother and stuff like that, and they closed the businesses. I said to my wife, I said, there's no way you can say this to people and they're going to want to come back to classes in 2 weeks. And that was one of the main reasons why I went right to virtual. And you know, it probably saved my school in some ways, because in those period of time, I found out most schools lost 60 to 80% of their students. And I lost about 20%, you know, for virtual, because there was no school, parents didn't have anything to do. So they just said, well, at least we have karate to do. And that's why a lot of people stayed with their karate the whole time.
And you got to think too, that it's almost like the other dojos that, you know, had just kind of cut out and not done virtual those couple of weeks, they weren't like maintaining their kids. So the kids basically just fell off the radar.
Yeah, they would fall off the radar. And once you lose them, it's really hard to bring them back to doing virtual. And
because it's more time that they, you know, can be affected by the whole COVID hysteria and fall off the bandwagon, so to speak.
Yeah, and at the very beginning too, I figured that parents all over were looking for things for their kids to do. And I actually am the administrator of the Dublin, you know, community group. And I actually organized like a kind of a virtual summer camp on it, where I taught karate class 2 weeks. I got the dance school and the yoga school to do some classes. We were doing some craft things. And, you know, we did that for 2 weeks at the very beginning. So we kind of, you know, showed everybody that we were still open for business through the community group. It's kind of funny too. My community group grew. I mean, it probably jumped up 500 people in just a week or two, because, you know, everybody's looking for something to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's how Reopen Bucks came to be such a force, is we just hopped on at the right time of the wave when everybody was on social media looking like, what are we going to do here? When can I go do something? So there was a lot there. So walk me through then reopening and coming to the decision. I meant, you know, you reopened a little bit earlier than you were supposed to, according to Governor Wolf.
Yeah.
So how did you decide to do that? And then how was it executed?
Well, we had a conversation on the phone, and you were trying to get a lot of businesses to reopen. And at first I was, you know, resistant, because I was doing pretty good virtual. I was like, you know, I might be able to make it the whole way virtual and then just go right back to live, and you know, everything would be great. But the one thing that really changed my mind was every year for Earth Day, I have a greenhouse here at my house, and I grow a bunch of tomato plants, and I give them out for Earth Day to all of the students. And I had a ton of tomato plants. So in May, like halfway through May, I think it was, and I remember it was week 10. I looked it up. It was week 10 that we were shut down. And I had a drive-through event. You remember how everybody do a drive-through event and, you know, wear gloves, and I had the mask on and the hand sanitizer, and gave out tomato plants to parents and students. And what I found out was that some of these students hadn't been out of their house. This was the first time they were out of their house in 10 weeks. And I said, this cannot be healthy for our kids to just stay at home, be on the computer the whole time, and maybe be in your backyard a little bit. I'm a huge outdoorsman too, so I really believe in getting out and doing things. So that was probably the main thing that really said, you know, I just got to get back to doing live. And I realized at the beginning that some people weren't going to buy into it. That's why I kept doing the virtual.
So you offered both. Once you you decided, the wake up call moment, it sounds like, decided I'm going to open, but you're offering to everybody who's not comfortable, hey, you can stay on Zoom and we'll keep doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to come back live. This is, and I set the guidelines of how we're going to do it. And, which I had actually planned like months in advance. I already had all this figured out. Like I was just waiting for a good moment to use it. And, you know, if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. We're going to keep on doing virtual. And, you know, when you're ready, you can come back in. And so that's when we decided June 1st. And I know there was a big push in the reopen group to get businesses to opened right around then too. A lot of the businesses, I think they were right with us at that time. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people started saying they weren't going to do it. And I remember you sending me a message like, are you still doing it? And I'm like, yeah, I'm too far in now. I got to, you know, I've already told everybody I have people coming out. So I just decided to go with it on June 1st, even though it was a little early.
And what was your experience? I mean, did state troopers beat down the door and come in and arrest people?
You know, there was a big fear of that, you know, I mean, I wasn't afraid because, you know, our district attorney and the sheriff are already said they're not going to pursue people. So my biggest concern was the health department. And I already had laid out a lot of things that I was going to use if they did show up at the door. First off is the health department really doesn't have anything to do with our business. You know, one of the also, according to the law that they were saying, they have to be able to prove that there's some kind of spread within our school. So I kind of had some strategies, you know, and I was also told to use the due process. So if they did come in, you tell them, well, I don't agree with you. So we're going to have to use due process and just take the fine and say, and then we'll see you in court. And by the time I was hoping that if we did end up in court 6-8 weeks later,
that happened to a lot of people, and all of those citations would eventually go away. The owner and the people were willing to say, okay, we'll follow the due process. They all got thrown out.
So it was in the back of my mind, but then, you know, you go through a week and you go through 2 weeks and then you're kind of like, okay, I guess nobody's coming.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody coming. So
you never had like a major visit from some authority or whatever.
No major visit. I mean, I had a few, situations where I had complaints within my, the building, you know, I did a homeschool group came to the dojo and I think this was January of 2021. And, you know, we had some kids and the parents came and they had all their kids in the building. And I guess one of the more paranoid people in the building walked by and saw that I had 40 people, you know, in the room.
Yep.
And they told the landlord on me, and I was talking to the manager, but I tend to deflect a lot of things with humor. And he's like, so my joke to him was when he said something, I'm like, yeah, I said, I had 12 kids scheduled, but I didn't realize these homeschoolers had so many kids. Was kind of like, and he just laughed. And then I said, so I won't do it again. I'm pretty good at deflecting things with a little bit of humor a lot of times. So,
You mentioned in there one thing about the law, which has been highly referenced in Pennsylvania and kind of how they did all of this nonsense. It's a 1955 Disease and Prevention Control Act.
Yeah.
It does say very clearly there needs to be a documented spread in order for all of these things to take effect. And that was something obviously that was never used. There were just these blanket mandates and orders at different health departments and different levels of government. But in your case, when we talk about, you know, spread, you opened the dojo earlier than you were supposed to. You had adopted a, you know, free approach to letting people choose whether they wear masks, et cetera. What was spread like in the dojo? Did you have tons of outbreaks?
Actually, like my first case, let's just say my first case that I even knew of anybody having COVID was November. And that was my daughter-in-law got it at work. And then that's when I actually ended up getting COVID from that because I quarantined here at home with her. And we were the first people I actually knew. Like I'll tell you, by November, before that happened, I would almost been like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of hard for you to reconcile what they're saying in the news and not actually knowing anybody that tested positive.
Because at this point, you're running your dojo for like months normal and
nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, I didn't have a single, I had a lot of people test. I mean, we're talking 20, 30 kids had gotten tested. And, you know, I was sweating bullets each time they got tested and they just kept on coming back negative. And the first case I had in, was in April of 2021. And they actually weren't even in the dojo. It was like they went away on vacation and then they got it when they got home and they hadn't even been in the dojo. So it was like, I either was extremely lucky or it's just, that's the way this thing worked. But you know, when I reopened, I knew from, if you really looked at the science, the real science, not the branded, you know, follow the science that the state kind of gave us, that kids weren't going to be as affected Now that changed a little. I think some of the later strains kids were able to get a little bit easier.
But I've always had this theory that, you know, your karate, it's a physical activity. I've had this theory that gyms and physical activities, the reason you see no spread there is if I don't feel right, if I don't feel very good, I'm just going to stay home. Not because I'm like, I don't even know I'm sick yet. I just feel like, and I'll do that tomorrow. I'm just not feeling up to it today. Like your body naturally, as you approach a sickness, you sense, I don't want to go work out right now.
Yeah.
And so with kids, that probably is just
under the weather.
Yeah, exactly. Know?
People will stop just because they're under the weather. And that was one of my biggest rules. And I think this was one of the things that helped us most is I didn't worry about masks because, you know, we do jiu-jitsu, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, where you're rolling around on the floor with other people face to face. So I wasn't really convinced that mask would help if you're that close to somebody. So I had to think of other strategies. And one of my main strategies that I always said to the parents at the beginning was, if you feel even a little bit under weather, stay home. We'll give you a private lesson. We were giving people private lessons to get caught up on the class if they stayed home when they were sick, just to make sure that they stayed on track. And I think that that was probably one of the best strategies. It's just the old fashioned, wash your hands and stay home when you feel sick. It seems like simple. It was the best way of handling it.
And now here we are, spring of 2022. That's like widely accepted as the way we're doing it. We're pretty much in an influenza model today. Yeah. It's like finally all of that branded science you talk about, it's caught up to the common sense way that people just did things at the beginning and it was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's another reason I really think it's important to tell your story. And not only, you know, what you did and you made a really good environment that helped people, our family personally really benefited from that, but you kind of proved yourself, you know, this was okay. This was okay all along. We didn't need to freak out and go to all these lengths.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting when we got to September of 2021 and, you know, everybody's going back to schools and they were considering whether even going to let the kids back in school. And here I started in June and we're with kids rolling around on the floor, you know, kind of like wrestling and face to face and without masks and having no problems. And it really was, for me, it was really odd. I actually reached out to one of the board members on the thing and I told her like what my experience, she was in the reopen group. And I told her what my experiences were. And I said, hey, I just want to tell you what my experience is it doesn't look like this is going to be a huge problem, you know, with the kids. So you just really have to concentrate on the people that are, you know, the parents or people that are at risk. And, you know, and it really was odd seeing the whole way schools played out because I was just rolling like normal, you know, the whole time.
That dissonance between different contexts and different activities was always so bizarre to me. There are some places where people could not function unless they had like all of this mitigation. Mm-hmm. And then they go down the street to these other activities. And you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah. Well, you know, even here, my development, you know, I would see people in the store and they were all masked up and they were on Facebook telling everybody how masked up are. And you come here into my development and all the kids are playing like normal, you know, and it's kind of weird how it's like, almost like people were faking it in the public eye. But when they're private, they just, we're living life normal, you know, and I saw that,
very common.
That was one of the other reasons that I decided to go back to business. Cause I was like, if nobody in the developments, they're going to let their kids play together and things like that in my development and all over the place with no problem, then why shouldn't I be able to open my business and let people go in there? And, you know, I also looked at the grocery stores and you've seen my dojo. Any fitness facility, I mean, we're used to like keeping the place super clean. And I know that the grocery stores and the other places that were allowed to be open were not clean, nowhere near what we were. I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were cleaning the like mats with between every class, you know, like, you know, wiping things down. And
that always, you know, really bothered me is that they allowed, you know, Walmart, Target, grocery stores in that first few months they didn't really adopt any different procedures, but you had business owners who were being told they have to stay closed while they were spending thousands, in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars to figure out all these complex tools and ways of like cleaning and stuff. It was so unfair.
Yeah. You should see one of the guys at my dojo, he owns he's an auto mechanic, and the things they were doing, he was telling me they were doing at the beginning, you know, where they were covering all the stuff in the car and gloves and masks and, you know, is pretty incredible to think they were doing that for somebody's car. But you could go into the grocery store and walk around and no problem, you know?
Like we said before, the dissonance aspect, it's tough to look back on all that craziness. Yeah. So here's a question for the future. You would eventually wind up just saying, yeah, I'm not closing down, once the December 2020 shutdowns came.
Yeah.
So that was for 3 or 4 weeks in December. And you were like, all right, going to keep the place open. Is it safe to say, as we approach the future and we see what's going to happen with COVID long term, like, are they just going to try shutdowns occasionally in winters and stuff like this? You feel like you're just back on track and going to do your thing with maximum impact.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever shut down again like that. You know, I don't think it was very useful. You know, it didn't seem to maybe delayed something in the pandemic. You know, I mean, the way these diseases go is it's not like you're never going to get it. You're going to get it sometime. It's just matter. Like my attitude is, you know, well, do I want it now or later? And I just decided that if I'm going to get it, I'm kind of like a type that just faces stuff head on anyway. It's pretty obvious by the way I ran my business. I just go for it and do it. So I said, well, you know, I'm just going to go back to my business. If I get sick, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm just going to stay home. And then I'm going to go back about my life like normal, you know? And so when December happened, basically they were telling us that they didn't say we had to close. They said we had to do it outside or virtual.
In December.
Yeah. And I just came to my people and I said, look, if you feel uncomfortable coming in, we're going to still do the virtual because we were still doing the virtual at that time. And we even opened up more classes at that point too, just to facilitate anybody who wanted to do it. And, but I was like, I'm not going to teach karate outside, you know, because there's ice, pavement, it's cold. I just didn't see like it seemed like there was almost as much risk doing that for an injury as there was just staying inside and doing it. And at that point we hadn't seen any problems with COVID within the facilities. So I just decided to just roll with it. I did have some people, like I had some doctors that called me and were adamant about me forcing everybody to start wearing masks at that point. But one thing that really I didn't really like about the whole pandemic was the rules changing constantly. You know, you go to the same store and next week, this week, it's these rules.
You never
next
know
week,
what you're walking into.
So I came to this decision in my mind that we're going to go for a consistency of rules, maybe not the perfect plan, but we're going to go for the most consistent plan, which meant we're not going to close. We're going to just remain mask optional, you know, and some people went back to masks, you know, and that was fine with me. You know, if that's what made you feel comfortable, my job was just to teach karate. It wasn't to, you know, preach to people about, you know, whether they want to wear masks or not. And that's kind of the attitude I took with it at that point.
Yeah. Well, like I'd already said, I mean, my family personally benefited. I know so many people in Reopen Bucks who have had a really great experience by becoming
a customer. I have to thank everybody at Reopen Bucks because, you know, so many people came out, especially in the winter, you know, like December 2020, January 2021, and that February 2021. You know, people, I would look around and like half of the people would be Reopen people. And I always ask this question that when people join, I say, oh, how'd you hear about us? And they would really quietly be like, Reopen Box, like under their breath, like Reopen Box under their breath. And I was like, and I'm looking around and everybody in the room was from Reopen Box or on the same page. So it was kind of funny though, how they like, it was like kind of a secret thing. It's almost like, you know, being in a speakeasy at some points. I think a lot of stuff felt like it was almost like you're running a speakeasy.
It was a great thing for a lot of people. Always saw you as a leader in this whole mess, everything you did with the business, your influence in talking to other business owners and all of that. So really appreciate everything. Where can folks, you know, if they're interested in learning more about Maximum Impact Karate, where can they go?
Yeah, you could just go to our website, which is www.maximpactkarate.com. We're in Dublin, PA, at the Square, which is if you go to Dublin, they are redoing a lot of the town, so we're in one of the new buildings there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking today, Tim. We'll catch up with you later.
All right, thank you.